the practice of withholding baptism, church membership, and the means of grace from those who give credible evidence of conversion is fraught with at least three intrinsic dangers. First and foremost, it makes the withholding church culpable of the sin of disobedience. The command of her sovereign Lord is clear and simple: make disciples, baptizing them. Matthew 28:19. It does not say, make disciples, and when they become mature enough to take on all the responsibilities of church membership, baptize them. Nor does it say, make disciples of those who are mature enough to become church members and then baptize them. Nor does it say, make disciples, and when your judgment concerning their spiritual state approaches infallibility, baptize them. Forgive the hint of sarcasm. It is born out of a sense of how utterly wrong it is for a church to passively disobey a plain command. The irony is that the churches most guilty of this sin of omission happen to be those which are most committed to the regulative principle. It should be recalled, however, that the regulative principle does not merely forbid us from doing what the Scriptures do not require. It also obliges us to do what they require. In this case, they require us to baptize those who give credible evidence of being disciples of Jesus Christ. The second danger intrinsic to the withholding practice is that, in addition to depriving the young believer of the blessing of baptism itself, it deprives him of several valuable and maturing means of grace. For starters, the very privilege of viewing oneself as a member of the church carries with it the spiritual dynamic of responsibility. In a similar way to remembering who we are in Christ or what our new relationship to sin is, remembering that we have become members of a local New Testament body of believers becomes a motivating and energizing catalyst. Even a young child can reason, I have become a part of a family known for their allegiance to Christ. I, too, must consistently behave like a Christian or I'll do harm to our church's reputation. These older believers are going to expect me to be obedient to the Scriptures. This is not to suggest that nothing is to be expected of a young professor who has not yet been baptized. Indeed, much is expected of such a person. The point is simply that even more is expected of one who has made his or her profession public. Postponing baptism and church membership deprives the young disciple of at least two other significant means of grace, namely, formal pastoral care and the Lord's table. If young disciples become members of the church, they also ought to come under the sanctifying influence of oversight. Their spiritual progress, or lack thereof, and struggles should be inquired after just like adult believers. The pastors of churches who practice withholding should humbly and honestly answer the question, how much spiritual interest am I presently showing outside of the pulpit to the children of this congregation who may be regenerate but not yet members of the church? If they were members of the church, would they not be given more focused oversight? Moreover, what shall we say of depriving these young disciples of the precious, strengthening privilege of observing the Lord's Supper?